What's up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back to another episode of the 100 After Show. Unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties in the studio tonight, we were not able to watch the episode tonight. Therefore, we will not be able to break it down, but we're not going to leave you hanging because we have a very special episode. We're going to answer some awesome questions to recap the whole season, like our favorite characters, the biggest betrayals, the best boss move. So definitely make sure you stay tuned for that, and stay tuned so you can find out when you will be able to catch the recap of tonight's episode, because it will be dropping later this week. So do not go anywhere. It's going to be a great one, guys.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
This song seemed appropriate just because we had some little oopsies with our DVRs, with the technology in the studio, but guys, it's fine because it's going to give us kind of more time to kind of marinate in last week's crazy episode, kind of recap the whole season, talk about some of our opinions, and kind of take a trip down memory lane. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be super fun. And if you are here looking for the season 11 recap, we are probably going to post that this Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 p.m. Central Time. So make sure you catch that. We'll be back in just a few days for that. But tonight's going to be great.
It's going to be fun.
Like I said, we had some really, really fun overview questions that we're going to discuss to prepare for the finale. And we also still have our fan shoutouts, our news, our predictions. So it's going to be basically a full show for you guys, just something a little bit different.
One crew.
Yes. So that was very long-winded. But anyway, I'm your host, Taylor Gates, and I'm joined by only one, but still a very, very lovely panelist tonight.
Hey, it's me, Cherry. Hey, everybody in the chat. What's up? One crew.
Yes, make sure you get in the chat because we have a little more time to talk to you guys, and it'd be very exciting to do it in real time. So let's start out with, who was your favorite new character of the season who kind of just came in? Who's really stood out to you?
Well, who really stood out to me as a catalyst has really been McCreary. I was surprised. Really? He's sort of like a big wonkin' flaming stone being thrown into a pond that's all still and chill. Everywhere he goes, he causes problems, and he also has made one of my favorite characters more John-like.
Yes, that's very true. See, I'm going to have to give this one, I think it's a tie for me between Dioza and Maddie, to be honest with you. Because Dioza has really, really surprised me. I feel like she was kind of set up to be this villain in the first few episodes, and I am ending up like really rooting for her and kind of really liking her. She's super smart. She's really cunning. She's really tough. She definitely has her flaws and her faults, but I think she's been really, really fun to watch. And I hope that she survives these last two episodes so we can see her more in season 6. And then Maddie, I think, has just had such a cool storyline. I love the fact that they've brought back sort of the Flamekeeper, the commander spirit within her. And I think she's been a lot of fun to watch in that way. And kind of trying to see where her loyalties lie. Like, is it with Clark? Is it with Octavia? Is it with this new flame she has? And how does that kind of tear her in different directions? So I think that she's been really, really fun to watch for me.
The women in the 100 every season have always been phenomenal. But this season, it really feels like it's woman against woman, and it gets a woman, and it's not about fighting over a man. It's about fighting for the same thing that normal male characters would be, fighting for power, fighting for place, fighting for your ideas. And it isn't contingent on a male per se or love or anything like that. That's been one of the really good things. Dioza is an incredibly strong woman, especially when you consider the fact that she's doing everything while pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Maddie getting the flame as well as meeting her Shiro has been a lot of fun, too. I know a lot of people think that Octavia is out to murder her for no reason, but I really feel as the season's gone on, people realize when you see it, Octavia is truly motivated by what's best for her people. Even if you don't agree with how she's doing it, the fact that she's taking responsibility, taking on everyone's guilt, has really made her character have so many layers, and the grayness has just been so fun to watch.
Yeah, I will say, because I didn't unfortunately get to be here for last episode, which was just a huge, huge episode for the series, I feel like. And I was kind of on the side of, oh, wow, Octavia's turning super one-dimensional this season. And so I really, really liked last episode. They did have those flashbacks, because I think talking about it is one thing, but actually seeing it in those flashbacks is a complete, like, sort of other story, because it forces you to actually look at it rather than just kind of imagine it. And it was so visceral and raw and gory and just, like, awful. That whole episode, the whole situation was crazy. And so I think that that really gave her more layers than she's like let on to have during the rest of season five.
And it was especially good when you consider that it was two women doing it. It was Abby whispering in her ear like a demonic Jiminy Cricket, really pushing her more than she really wanted to go. But once it was explained, she said, we have to do this. And I also thought it was fascinating the way that the set designer, the director, and everyone decided, we're going to have them consume human flesh, but we're not going to make it look appetizing. We're not going to season it. We are going to make sure when you eat it that you're uncomfortable, that you know the sacrifice the other people are doing, that this, you're not able to pretend that this is chicken or pretend that this is beef. They wanted to make sure that you weren't enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And I really thought that was interesting, because at first I looked at it and I was like, they should cook it so at least it doesn't feel, or season it or something. Then I thought, but you don't want them to enjoy eating people. You want them to hate eating it, so that the minute they don't have to, they'll stop doing it.
That's a really, really good point. I hadn't really even thought of that, but yes, props to the set designer, the props, you know, coordinator, designer, the art department. I definitely agree. That's a really, really interesting choice, and I think it's not something we see on a lot of other shows when you have, you know, these kind of really touchy subjects. They do kind of try to paint in, you know, mm-hmm. make it fried so it's kind of disguised, and this was like very much, oh, this is human flesh.
Yes, it was. And it was a big chunk too. It wasn't divided up. They didn't like cut it, so they had to like really touch it. And it almost felt as if someone sort of used the Native American or indigenous philosophy of using the entire animal and then showing respect for their death. With that speech that Octavia did, was really good as well.
True. It's a very good connection. And just kind of to tie back to what you said earlier about having these women being able to fight over things other than a man, like, I think that that's something that the Hundred's been really, really good at since season one, and has been continued to do it every single season. So props to them for that. And I don't think it doesn't just pass the Bechdel test, it like knocks it out of the park, which is something I really, really love about the show, especially since it's a YA show. Like,
yes,
it's for young adults, and I feel like so often it's like focused on the love triangle, and Hundred's never really been about that, which is great and refreshing.
Well, Arturo Guzman in the chat says, Dioza, I believe, has been a very surprising character. I was expecting to hate her so much, but I feel for her. She has showed humanity and desire to help others.
Agreed, 100%. Definitely agreed. Dios has been awesome and just so dynamic to watch.
Yes, she's a great actress. She's strong, physically strong and imposing, but still feminine, but still very much I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. And just her presence. And she does a lot with just a look. The look she gave Kane when she offered him that look, that whiskey, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It wasn't tequila. She was just like, you know what? I could try that. And yeah, I was like, you know what, girl?
She is. She's a very facial actress. She's wonderful.
And Ringe 90998 said, I've been saying that Clark's been acting like her mom and Letza. I love them, but not the best examples. If I was there, I'd tell Clark that she shouldn't be like them, but be better than them.
Ooh. Well, that kind of takes us to our next question about favorite OG character. I have a feeling I know what you're going to say, but let's hear it.
Okay, so I will not lie. Y'all know from the get-go, I'm Team Octavia. I have really enjoyed, I've watched the show from the very beginning, and I remember when Octavia was meek and mild and terrified when they threw her off the ship and she had a major freak out, terrified living under the little girl underneath the floorboards, and to see her character's progression, whether you agree with how she's behaved or the choices she's made, as an actress, she's doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah, you can't deny that. I mean, she's always had that spunk, I feel like. We're back, bitches. I think that's one that always comes to mind when I think of Octavia, that, like, iconic one of her first scenes. But I agree. I think it's been interesting to see what this kind of leadership role has done to her and just kind of how she's handled it. And it's interesting that they put her in that position, you know, whether you agree with, you know, kind of what she's done and things like mm-hmm. that. So my favorite OG character, I would usually say Abby, to be honest with you. Like, the other season, it has been Abby, which I know is not a super popular choice, but I just love Paige Turco so much and think she's done so much cool stuff with that character. This season, I'm going to have to go with Indra, though. Indra has been amazing this season. I just love how level-headed she's kept it and her interactions with not only with Octavia, but with Bellamy and with Gaia. And I just think that they did a great job giving her this big of a role this season. I've really, really liked that.
I really liked exploring her emotional backstory. Mm-hmm. That has been a shocker. I hadn't realized, I knew she didn't get along with her daughter, but understanding why they didn't get along made me understand why she cleaved so closely to Octavia.
Yeah, because we got hints of that in the other seasons, but it really came into fruition kind of in that bunker, I feel like. I will have to vouch for Clark a little bit, too, because I know that this panel's not the most Clark-friendly, but I have really, really enjoyed seeing the maternal side of her. That is something that we haven't seen really before this season. She's kind of been, she's been a leader for sure, and you know, she's taken on those roles and had to make really, really tough decisions. But just seeing how having Maddie in her life has kind of impacted her and influenced her, I think is a really cool choice, because I don't think a lot of shows would have necessarily done that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's neat that they allowed her to kind of grow up in that way on screen. So I've liked seeing that. I've liked seeing how that's affected her.
Yeah, I mean, because when you really think about it, because I had to like step back from my frustration with Clark, she is an only child. She was a child of what I suspect would have been privileged on the ship, since her mom was a doctor and her dad was something mm-hmm. else as well.
She did see him get floated, I remember. So that was, you know, definitely an emotional scar. But yes. before that all happened, I think you're probably right.
And I think she was always taught by her mom, you're a leader, you're super special, you're the one that should be in charge. And, you know, like, I think any child who's constantly being told by their parents, you're special, you're wonderful, you should always be in charge, especially for a female. I think sometimes what I find disconcerting about her character is that her character does not act like a normal female character in roles like this. Her character is very strong. Her character is very opinionated. Her character is very much, I shall do what I want. This is what I think should be done. And she doesn't say it in a passive voice or a questioning voice. Mm-hmm. And for a while that kind of, I couldn't figure out exactly what it was that was so different about Clark. And it really hit me this past season of why her character is so different. And I'm having to appreciate Clark again. When I first season, I loved Clark, and then she kind of got on my nerves because she killed a few people I liked. But, you know, this season, I get how she behaved a lot better now.
Yeah, and then we have to remember, I mean, you mentioned kind of her relationship with Abby. Abby was pretty overprotective of her. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a real power struggle with them in season, I think it was season two, I remember. Abby was trying to come back and kind of lead the whole thing. Her and Jaha were trying to lead the whole thing. Clark's like, me and Bellamy got a thing going here. You kind of got to respect. And so even seeing those two, that their relationship, especially in the last episode, not tonight's obviously, but the, you know, week before that, where Clark was kind of playing mom and kind of helping Abby, you know, with her drug addiction, has mm-hmm. been an interesting role reversal. And that's just bringing it back to the dynamic nature of these relationships and these characters, which is what makes The 100 so fun.
Now, Zias B. Lou in the chat says, Indra, because if she has taught Octavia and the way she's grown season to season, that's why that's one of her favorite old characters.
Yep.
And Ringe 90998, I was worried about Octavia and Bellamy. I thought she was really no, we will not talk about what happened this season, first part of the finale. We have not seen it yet.
We have not seen it yet. Thursday, guys, only like 2 days away. You can do this.
I'm covering my eyes, everybody. I'm covering my eyes.
Let's move on to the next question of your least favorite new character. Do you have one that you've really not enjoyed on the screen, or the one that you think is just slimy and and morally corrupt?
Huh. This is a tough one. I am having major issues with, hold on 1 second. My mind is blanking out.
Okay, I'll go first if you want. Okay, I got you. So you like McCreary. You said, I am not a McCreary fan. I don't know. He just seems a little bit flat to me. Like, he seems very villainous. I mean, we've seen flashes of that kind of humanity when, you know, Diaz was like, you kill me, you kill your daughter. But besides that, I wish he had, like, a little more depth. And I know that, you know, not every character can be, like, you know, as well-rounded as some of these OG characters are, who are just so colorful and have, you know, been through so much and we know so much about them. But I'm not sold on him yet. Maybe if we find out some more, I will be, but
he's
not yet.
He's a hard character, but I have to say he is loyal to his particular crew. Mm-hmm. And he does keep an eye out for them, because he didn't say, cure me. He was like, you have to cure all my people.
That's a very good point.
And he is a not very nice person, but I have to say, I really think he won't kill McCreary until after she has his baby.
Yeah.
Because he wants his damn baby. The character who has worked my last nerve is Marcus Kane.
Well, he's not new. Okay, we can go to the least favorite OG
He's
character.
My least favorite. He's always my least favorite. All right. We're talking about new. But Marcus, because he seems to forget how he started out spacing a bunch of kids. What? And now every season it seems like he resents the young people being in charge.
I disagree. Like, I like Kane. I think he's an interesting character, and I think that he's changed a lot since season one. I feel like he genuinely tries to do the right thing, especially lately. And, I mean, he does try, and he cares so much about Abby, which I really appreciate. I've always loved those two together. So, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of Team Kane at times.
Team Kane.
I am.
Well, I have to say I love my favorite new character. We're talking about favorite. I've gotten distracted. Is, of course, my cannibal.
I'm kind of
not cool with Vincent eating people, but I love his relationship with Abby. Even just the looks he gave her, it was like he knew her and he saw something in her. They haven't really explained exactly what Elsie sees in her, because it's not just her curing him. There's something. I think she reminds him of someone. I think maybe, because he doesn't look at her like he wants to eat her. He doesn't necessarily look at her like he wants to have the grown-up bedtime with her. He looks at her like she's his friend, and he knows and he sees something in her. So I'm very curious exactly what that connection was.
Not 1,000% sold on that theory yet, but hey, I mean, I'm here for it if they want to flesh him out a little more.
Chomp,
I'm here for
chomp.
It. Least favorite OG character for me. I don't know. Octavia's been a little insufferable at times, but I do have to say it's been fun watching Marie play that kind of
She's been doing a really good job.
Especially I have to give it to her last episode when she was hesitant, and you could see that it was kind of before, you know, everything had sort of taken over, all that pressure had been put on her. I loved seeing her and Abby kind of, you know, talk it out. Like, what are they going to do? So I will give it up for her for, you know, the last episode. But the ones before that, like, Octavia, girl, you gotta rein it in a little bit.
Bellamy needs to pay attention. If he had been doing what he was supposed to, which is checking in with Raven up on the ship, a lot of issues that they would have avoided a lot of issues with the new Sky people. Because he didn't check. He was so distracted seeing his old friends after being up on the ship. And it's like, dude, you're here for one job and you didn't do it. And no one's really called him on not doing what he was supposed to, which I found kind of annoying.
Yeah, I've actually really enjoyed seeing Bellamy this season, to be honest with you, especially when he is talking to Octavia. I think that their sibling relationship has been really kind of interesting this season, because the power has shifted a little bit. I mean, Bellamy was sort of the leader in the first few seasons, and now And I mean, they've been through ups and downs before when, you know, Octavia was like, hey, I'm going to go be a grounder. And Dolly was like, oh, okay, great. So, I mean, they've had their ups and downs, but this has really, really tested them. And that's been great to see in that context of the brother-sister relationship. I wish they gave Raven a little more to do this season, to be honest with you.
I feel like the loss of Raven has been somewhat frustrating. It's frustrating that they always seem to have her be alone, and they can't seem to figure out how to have her really connect with someone, not even like in a sexual boyfriend, girlfriend or girlfriend way, you know, hey, I'm open, you know, whatever. Just having her connect with someone. They always have her tinkering with computers and things as if she's socially inept, and they don't show her being lonely. Like sometimes they'll show her being lonely, but it's almost as if they expect Raven to be the cyborg with no emotion and just tinkering in a room by herself.
Yeah. I mean, they've given her a little bit more with Shaw, especially at the end here, but I agree. I feel like, I mean, of course you can't have all of them have these, you know, really, really fleshed out storylines every season. It's just not plausible with a cast this big. But I don't know. I love seeing her in these past seasons. I feel like her, the material they've given her has been a little bit lackluster in season 5. And so I hope that changes.
Even in the spaceship, they gave her short shrift.
Yeah, it was a little bit underdeveloped for my liking, just because I think that she's such an interesting character. I mean, she's a genius, she's super athletic, but she also has this handicap, and it's, I don't know, there's so many ways you could go with her, and she's a phenomenal actress.
Yes.
And so hopefully in season 6, we'll delve a little more deeply into the life of Raven.
More Raven, please.
Speaking of that, who are you shipping the most? That's the next question on our agenda.
Oh my gosh. I kind of like Raven with her little fly boy. Mm-hmm. A, he's gorgeous. B, in real life, he has a British accent, so crushing on you. And I know I'm going to be the only one that says this. I'm kind of hoping that my favorite cannibal...
You are not going to say this right now.
I am. We'll end up with Abby. I don't care.
I am going to walk out of the studio.
Yes,
I'm a diehard Cain and Abby shipper, like have been since the beginning, except for the time he had her whipped with the little electrical thing.
That
still cuts me so deep. It was like in season 2, and it gives me nightmares to this day.
Abby doesn't seem like a BDSM type of chick.
Those were some interesting circumstances when that happened too. That was a lot going on there. I'm rooting for John and Amori still. I won't lie to you. They had some funny lines the last episode. You still want a gun? And it's like this huge laser gun. He's like, oh, yeah, I do. I don't know. I think they're fun. I think they're two kind of misfits, sort of, you know, outcasts, kind of willing to get down and get their hands dirty. And I like them together. I think they're really fun to watch.
They're always fun when they've got their back against the wall, because they both are the type of people who will be like, what do we need to do to survive? Yeah. I'll feel bad about it later, but, you know, what?
Yeah.
They do what needs to be done.
Agreed. Okay, so biggest betrayal. We're going to go right from the love to the biggest betrayal, because that's how we do it here at the 100.
Betrayal. Marcus Kane with his snaky, no good. What's worse? Who's the most evil one? You are, Marcus Kane. You are. You remember you threw a bunch of kids off the ship, didn't know if they were going to survive or not, to test the earth to see if it's okay for everyone else.
Listen, they're fine. Did they die? No, they're fine.
But they might have. They might have.
It wasn't just him, though. We got to remember that. I mean, Ja has had some stuff to do with that. Abby had some stuff to do with that. There was a whole system in place.
He was the leader, and the buck stops with you, buddy. Desk stops with you. And he's so self-righteous about it. It's like, dude, you don't get to talk smack about nobody else. You need to remember what you did.
I don't know that he's self-righteous, though. I just view him as, like, he's been very pretty calm lately. Like, I just view him as, like, he went off, he meditated, maybe he smoked some pot, I don't know, but he's a changed man after that drink that Joza introduced him to. He's a changed person.
Alcohol? This is delicious.
Yeah, he loves it.
I do like alcohol myself.
So, I would say my biggest betrayal was when Octavia burnt down the hydro farm and betrayed all of one crew.
Let it burn.
I also think that Bellamy poisoning Octavia was pretty crazy
terrible.
I mean, honestly, like, probably was a good idea to, you know, give her some time. Oh, also, no, I'll save this for boss move. Let's go to boss move. This is our next question. Boss move of the season. That's like, that's a tall order right there. But what do you think yours is? Thank you, Anthony. I was waiting for it. What do you have one that really stands out?
I'd say Maddie, when she was dropping names to that random soldier when they're in the car trying to get away was a major boss move. Basically, Maddie, after she got the command, just telling everybody, especially her mom, no, mom, I remember, da-da-da-da-da. And then with Abby, you asked for that. That was on you.
I do want to talk about, I'm just selfishly talking about last episode because I didn't get to be here for it. I loved the episode. But that moment where Maddie's about to kill McCreary and Clark just grabs her arm. I was like, that was the most mom move I've ever seen in my life. Like, that scene just cracked me up because I was like, that is literally like mom at the grocery store, like someone getting into someone they're not supposed to. I thought that was hysterical.
Maddie is hilarious. I have to say, I like Maddie quite a bit.
I like Maddie quite a bit too. She really is. She'll
stab you in a minute. I think she has a razor blade in her mouth 24/7.
And Clark's just like, what do I do with this girl? Like, how do I handle this? She's gonna be fun when she's like a teenager. That's gonna be an experience.
She'll be hot to trot, just killing everybody.
Oh, Maddie.
And in charge.
I would say my boss move, I thought Gaia trying to kill Octavia when she was in the little fighter pit was pretty wild. When she just takes the sword or whatever and just chucks it up there, I was pretty shook by that. I'm not kidding. Yes.
That was cool, and it was hilarious. I'm like, girl, you're not a warrior, but good for you for trying.
I mean, she tried. I mean, she got it up there. She just didn't aim it perfectly right. I also really just love the moment where Diosa stops McCreary from murdering her by talking about her pregnancy. I just think that's wonderful. I love that moment so much.
Well, Arturo Guzman says, Gaia, when she tried to kill Blood Reyna.
Yes.
Got your back,
crazy.
Girl. Ken from Chicago, Maddie equals Octavia 2.0. Yes. And, Skippy says, Maddie. Skippy T_tone815, Maddie being the commander, Zias B. Lou. Hey, Zias. Nice to see you again. That poisoning for sure. Yeah, the poisoning was unforgivable. I would never forgive my brother for trying to poison me.
Listen.
Never.
Would you forgive your sister for putting you in a fighting pit to fight it out with Indra and Gaia?
He didn't follow the rules.
Listen,
he didn't follow the
Octavia
rules.
Octavia ain't following any ethical rules at that point, okay? There's a double standard.
Octavia is following the rules according to
herself.
One crew, which they've made.
Which she made herself.
Abby was whispering in her ear, we need to put everybody in a pit to try and have hunger, some food, so they'll kill them and then we'll eat the people who are left and we'll put them in the freezer.
Listen,
that was
not
Abby.
Abby right
that
now.
Was Abby. Okay, that was Abby.
I will not tolerate Abby slander on this action.
Not Abby slander, but it's the truth.
I am an Abby
the
apologist.
Truth will set you
I will
free.
Lie to you.
All Abby right. Constantly choosing drugs over everybody. Oh, I choose my drugs.
Okay,
so.
But she's not choosing them. She is addicted to them. There's a difference. You know what I mean?
Choosing to do the drugs and choosing to let her boyfriend go into the pit for her.
I don't
think she'd choose it over her daughter, I guess. But everybody else is like, they're on the table. She's like, you know.
I don't know. I think we should give Abby a little more credit because she's proven herself. I mean, like, yes, she has faults. She has flaws. But she's proven herself to want to do what's best for her daughter, what's best for her people. But she, like, literally can't right now. It's her mental state, you know? It's the pills kind of messing with her. And they started out as, you know, she had Allie in her. She had all this stuff happen. Like, it makes sense. What drove her to do it. So I'm not going to fault Abby. I'm not going to
hate on
Abby.
We all have the guilt. She really turned to drugs with the whole eating people thing. While Octavia had to like just grit it and deal with it and turn off her emotions, she didn't turn to drugs. Just saying.
Well, but you can tell that she doesn't want this anymore. Like, she's trying to explain. She's very apologetic for it. I don't know. I'm not going to fault Abby for that.
There's really no not. AA in the future. Lance Diamond says, Octavia has to die. I hate her. She killed that dude and the girl because they didn't want to eat their people. How dare you, Lance? How dare you?
That was a wild scene.
How dare you? It was for the survival of humanity and everybody in the bunker. And she took on that guilt. She took on that guilt on herself so that everybody else could project their anger and their guilt onto her.
We could dissect that scene for literal weeks. So we don't have time for that.
Whoever wrote that script, whoever wrote that episode, bravo. Yeah, that was bravo. A great script. Yeah.
All right. You so now that. Now comes the important questions that kind of ties into the finale. One is a two-parter. Part one, who should have Eden? And part two, who should be in charge of it?
Okay, so I'm kind of leaning towards having Maddie be in charge of Eden because she might be a child, but she has all the history and all the knowledge of the past commanders who led their people the best that they could in such dire times. And then as far as who should have Eden, I think everybody should have Eden except for McCreary and his crazy criminals who don't want to share with anybody else. And then it should be divided into like separate little areas for everybody. Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that McCreary needs to be out of here. I don't see him fitting into any real like democratic like society. I want Indra to be in charge. I don't think it'll happen, but I would love it because I think that she would just be a great leader. Like I said, she's so level-headed. She's got that combat experience, but she's also got, you know, she's rational. She's a logical person, and I just want to see her thrive. So I'm going to go Team Indra for that one.
Well, we have someone in the chat who said that Kim from Chicago, hey Ken, the survivors of both sides should share the valley. Hey, are you talking about what happened tonight, Ken? Are you talking about what happened tonight?
Save it for Thursday. Okay, let's go to our last question. What has been your favorite episode of the season? There's been some really freaking great ones.
There's been some really good episodes. I'm going to be totally boring and say one of my favorite episodes was the season premiere because it really showed Clark's mindset. Mm. And it was a domino effect of, because of the choice she made, the people coming down, the new Sky Crew people, which were on the fence on whether they'd be unpleasant or mean or whatever, immediately went into enemy mode. Mm. If she hadn't decided to just shoot them without saying a dang word, who knows what might have happened. Because McCreary wasn't in charge at the time. Yeah. Dioza is pretty level-headed. Like, she'll listen. But once she did that, then Clark, as usual, like, just blew everything up. She's like, hey, I'm going home. And she just threw all her stuff down. It's like, yeah, I'm going home.
I liked the first few episodes, too. I feel like so much has happened in just, like, now 12 episodes. We haven't seen the 12th one, but, you know, just, you know, a little over about a dozen episodes have aired, and like so much has happened. We covered 6 years. I mean, we started out this season with everyone in different places, and everyone got together so quickly. We lost Jaha, which I forget about a lot, but like RIP Jaha, that was only a couple episodes ago, which just seems like a lifetime ago.
I'm still missing Jaha.
Me too, man.
I mean, he was evil, don't get me wrong, but a great character.
He was layered, though. And
great character.
Yeah. Arturo, and he died, and he wanted to be with Wells.
Yes, with his boy. Arturo Guzman says, today's episode was one of the best, in my opinion, of course, ha ha ha. Arturo!
You're Arturo! Cheating, man. Well, I'm excited to cover it. I would say one of my favorites, I actually really liked episode 10, Warrior's Will, because that was the one where it was a lot of Octavia, Bellamy, Indra, Gaia tension, like within the arena. And I really like those four characters interacting for some reason. So I thought that was a really cool one. And just the idea of the pit and the arena and the sort of Roman Colosseum, you know, vibes that it has.
That was good.
It's really cool. I think it's a really, really interesting concept. So I like it when they kind of highlighted that. Awesome. You guys.
Skippy T underscore tone 815 said their favorite was the episode Jahad died. I think it's just your favorite because Jahad died. And then Rinchi 90998 said, would you really want to enjoy eating human meat?
No.
No.
I would not want to enjoy that.
I would not enjoy that at all.
But if it meant that I wouldn't be shot, I don't know. I might take it up. Tough decision, man. Very tough decision. Well, that's all the questions we have, but don't go anywhere. We still got some cool news and predictions and stuff. But also make sure to rate us 5 stars on iTunes. I know we have a lot of iTunes listeners out there. So thanks so much for downloading and listening, you know, wherever you are. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit that subscribe button. It's really, really awesome. It kind of works like Netflix, to be honest with you. It, like, curates a bunch of shows that you might want to see based on the 100. I know we have an Outpost after show that has some 100 vibes. I'm on a show on actually Facebook Watch called Sacred Lies, which has, like, a YA sci-fi cult type element. So you might want to hit that up and enjoy that, too. So, yeah, just make sure to follow us on all the social medias and everything so you can stay up to date, because we love talking with you guys. Like, we do it for you guys. We love the fans, and you know, it's so fun to come into the studio every week and talk to you all. So speaking of fans, I want to shout out 2 fans that commented on YouTube last week, Maniac Madness 11 and Cat Golfo. Thanks so much for watching and leaving a nice little comment.
Love you. And AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know that you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You'll get, you know, updated on all the latest news if you do that stuff. And we have some cool news about the 100. So there's going to be the 2nd annual... Oh, sorry. I got ahead of myself. I'm too excited. There's going to be the 2nd annual... Conageddon in Boston next year over St. Patrick's Day weekend, and there are a ton of actors from the 100 that are going to be there. So if you're in the Boston area, I would definitely make sure to check that out, or you know, if you got some extra cash lying around, get a plane ticket, get some hotel accommodations. Eliza Taylor, who's Clark, is going to be there. Bob Morley, who's Bellamy. Zach McGowan, who played Rowan a couple seasons ago, really, really cool actor. Taysa Tellis, who plays Echo, Richard Harmon, who plays Murphy, Christopher Larkin, who plays Monty, Chelsea Rice, who plays Harper, and Luisa de Oliveira, who plays Amori, are all going to be in attendance. I know there's like special photo opportunities,
yes,
autograph stuff. So if you're looking for something awesome to do over St. Patrick's Day weekend next year, hit up Boston, because that would be awesome. I would love to go to that.
Make it a 100th St. Patty's Day.
Yes, for sure. Oh my gosh, nothing better than that. Let's move in to some predictions, bearing in mind that we have not watched the 12th episode yet.
After Buzz TV predictions.
All right, you got any for us?
I have a few predictions.
Let's hear them.
I think that Maddie is going to really take charge and let everyone sort of see her command and her integration into the memory and being able to be leader in charge. I think that Octavia is really going to be fighting pretty much everybody. You know, Octavia's just, she's gotten a little power mad. And also that Abby is going to try and be clean, but I don't think you can get clean like that. And I think she might have a fall back, and her drug addiction might cause problems for them fighting for Eden, and that McCreary is a snake, as well as our old fearless leader. And I think Marcus is going to get badly hurt by McCreary, because McCreary is untrustworthy.
Very interesting. My prediction is a lot more vague than that. I think something really, really major is going to happen concerning the Valley. I mean, we had that little hint a couple episodes ago where Clark threw the jar of worms. I don't think that's just for nothing. I think the fact that we heard it crack, saw it crack, is a big deal, and I think it's going to come back into play. Maybe the worms will infest the Valley. Maybe there will be some other ship coming down with some new characters to cause problems. Maybe, you know, if there is another ship or there are these worms, maybe everyone will kind of have to band together against a stronger common enemy. I just feel like The 100 has this formula of the finale kind of leaves a cliffhanger, but also sets up the next season. We had Mount Weather in season one. Allie's introduced in the season two finale. Allie's destroyed in season three. And then Prime Fire happens at the end of season four. So I think something really, really major and unexpected is going to happen just to kind of set the stage for what's to come in season six. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'm just super happy that CW gave them a season renewal early enough where they were able to take that into account and not have to stress out and leave us hanging with a season finale that would never be finished.
Yeah.
So I think giving them that freedom is going to enrich the two-part season finale that we will be watching later on this evening and then next week.
Yes, for sure. All right. Well, great special show, guys. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad so that we got to kind of digest and really get hyped up for the rest. Like I said, you can catch the recap of this finale, the part one of the finale, Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific time, which is 10 p.m. Eastern and 9 p.m. Central. I'm having a hard time speaking today, but make sure to join us for that. We love hearing your guys' thoughts. Make sure to drop, you know, your own comments about your favorite characters, boss moves, betrayals, everything like that. Cherry, before Thursday, where can everyone find you on social media?
You can find me, Cherry_LA, on Twitter and Instagram. And I have to say, Arturo said that he thinks that vibe, that Eden will be destroyed and that everyone will have to go back to space.
Ooh, I like it. You guys can find me on Twitter at @Alphaba_Anne, on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. I also host the Younger After Show every Wednesday at 10 and Law & Order SVU every Thursday at 8. Until then, you guys, keep it 100.
100, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.